Hey there, welcome to the Bernie Miklas Show here on my YouTube channel. Thank you for subscribing, those of you who have, and we're approaching 7,000 subscribers, which is really delightful to me, considering how relatively short time this thing has been in operation. And it's just a one-man operation, nothing fancy. I actually take pride in that. If you haven't subscribed, please consider it. And this will be an intense spot as far as consistent and as far as highly active for Cardinals-related analysis and commentary all off-season, because that's what you want. It's been very obvious to me through all of my media endeavors through the years. Doesn't matter if the Cardinals are good or bad. The interest level, as far as just people wanting to have opinions and to exchange opinions and listen or read my opinions and many others, it's still a hive of activity. That part of the interest level simply does not go down. The attendance might go down, the tickets sold might go down, but people still are keenly interested in the Cardinals, and especially this offseason with so much up in the air. Anyway, enough of that. Leave your comments too. Appreciate that. Today, I wanted to talk about Ryan Helsley. And listen, I've talked about Ryan Helsley. We all have for quite a bit. But I wanted to kind of reset here because there's been this undertone and in some of the reporting done. And by the way, I always feel like I need to make this abundantly clear. When I talk about something that's been reported, I'm not knocking the reporter. In this case, it's the great Derek Gould, who is a distinguished baseball writer. He is a friend and a longtime colleague. I may tease Derek from time to time, but the point is his job is to gather information, and you get information by going to people, sources with the team who are in a position to know or in a position to make decisions related to a lot of these important things. And so Derek Gould has mentioned multiple times in recent weeks, I guess. And I was as recently as last week, I believe, that the Cardinals are not, they're not like determined to trade Ryan Helsley. Like they're okay sticking with him going into 2025, unless a team that wants him makes a great offer, an overwhelming offer, one that the Cardinals would feel really, really excited about. Otherwise, the Cardinals are putting out there through the reporting that they're inclined to stay with Ryan Helsley, their excellent closer for 2025. And really what this is some positioning. Let's get to the point of like explaining exactly what this is. If you're the Cardinals, you want to put that message out there, right? There's going to be a pretty active reliever market. I think Milwaukee's going to trade or seriously consider trading Devin Williams. Houston's made it known, according to media reports, that their closer, Ryan Presley, we're talking about a World Series winning closer, he's available for conversations about a trade. And The Athletic ran a couple weeks ago, they did a preview of free agency, but they did it in a way that I like. Of course, you have all the top 50 free agents and all that. But what they did is they put another piece together on the best groups by position that are available in free agency this offseason. And the reliever group, primarily closers and high leverage guys, right? The Athletic, and they do an excellent job covering baseball, they basically believe it's one of the strongest groups of free agents available at any one position. So the Cardinals, against that backdrop where you might actually have a generous supply of high leverage relievers available for teams that need them, they still have to let it be known that they're not giving Ryan Helsley away. You know, if you think you're going to call us and, you know, we're going to jump on the first thing offered, or we're going to sell low, we're not going to do it. Now, that is just a strategical posture. I get it. That's what they should do. I do think, and Will Leach and I were talking about this earlier today on Monday, we recorded a new Seeing Red. So if you're on X, go to at Seeing Red Pod. And you can find it on, you know, wherever you get your podcast. But we did another one today. This first one since the end of the season. So anyway, I wanted to throw that in. It is indeed possible that the Cardinals may not get overwhelmed by offers. And I think, you know, my friend Will Leach made a point that I agree with. If they trade Helsley, we all might be, collectively speaking, we might be underwhelmed, because I think the expectation level is really high that they would get this bonanza by trading Helsley. I'm not sure. As I mentioned, there's going to be quite a few appealing relievers, closers included, available free agency or through trades. Other than that, I would also say Ryan Helsley's a heck of a fit for a lot of contending teams who have that open hole at the end of games, right? Baltimore Orioles being one of them, the New York Yankees. You know, I love the way that all of a sudden, you know, Luke Weaver, because he had a good month for the Yankees as a closer because they were so desperate, all of a sudden, like, you know, Luke Weaver is like Bruce Sutter circa 1982. Can we calm down on that? Because people say, well, Bernie, see, they don't – teams don't need to trade for Ryan Helsley. You don't need a super closer. Look at Luke Weaver and the Yankees for what, a month? And how did he do in the World Series? I'm not knocking him. The Yankees were smart to put him in a closer role, and he did an excellent job, but this doesn't prove anything. I went back. I'm not gonna bore you with it. I was looking at recent playoff teams and recent pennant winners and all this stuff. And for the most part, they all had dominant relievers. You do get the outlier here and there, absolutely. But it doesn't change the reality that if you have if you have an outstanding closer and he's still got bullets left in the chamber, once you get into October, he's still going to be viable. Like Emmanuel Clase for the Cleveland Guardians, he clearly ran out of gas. And that's why it's smart to be careful with your closers during the season, the way that Ali Marmol was with Helsley last year. There's just no need to burn these guys out and make them vulnerable to injury, or they have a big-time performance drop because they're basically running low on fuel after a long season. I think there's a new enlightenment about how you treat closers and how you have to just be on the cautious side rather than the overly aggressive side. I don't want to get off topic. I still think there's a market for Ryan Helsley. It may not be quite the windfall that maybe we anticipate, but they could still get a generous return for Ryan Helsley. That's my belief anyway. Here's the thing. What would be the point of keeping Ryan Helsley if you're the Cardinals? To reset, he's in a final arbitration year. He can become a free agent after the 2025 season. His arbitration salary this year is a drop in the bucket for a contending team that is missing a key link, like a shutdown closer. So the Cardinals can carry his salary this year. I mean, they've been dumping salary. Their salary, Will Leach refreshed my memory this morning. I mean, their salary right now is about $140 million, their payroll, I should say. And that's low compared to where they were last year. And if they trade Arenado, for example, then that would go even lower. And there's still some other things that could drive it even lower. So it isn't that they can't afford to keep Helsley. Of course they can. But that's really not the point. The point is the question I ask. What would be the point of keeping him? Well, number one, there's two reasons that stand out. Number one, if Bill DeWitt and John Mozeliak, and Bill DeWitt is in on these decisions, as I've been trying to tell you for many years, if Mozeliak and DeWitt believe the Cardinals actually have a chance to legitimately contend for the playoffs in 2025, and they can maximize their chances, or that's probably only going to happen if Helsley is back to do something similar to what he did last year. But we had John Mozeliak himself in that news conference after the season, right after the regular season, was being transparent and saying, like, well, you know, basically saying we take a step back in 2025. I mean, he put the parameters out there. This isn't about doing everything, you know, spending money and going all in and blah, blah, blah. And I'm going to say what I've been saying a lot ad nauseum to some of you probably is for the people that say, well, Bernie, you know, they can rebuild the farm system and the minor league system and all that infrastructure and technology, hire all those coaches and instructors, have much better facilities, much better preparation. They can do all that and spend money on free agents. Once again, how many times does someone have to hit you over a baseball bat? I'm using a rough metaphor there. How many times do you need to be bonked over the head, upside the head with a baseball bat before you realize no more spending on free agents, not with this front office? No, 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 no. Don't waste the money. We're okay. We're okay for an offseason until there's a regime change. But it amazes me how many people still want John Mozeliak to take a blowtorch to this massive pile of money, just incinerate it, blow it up. My friends, what is wrong with you if you're one of those people who feel that way? Seriously, what is wrong with you? I'm worried about you. I care. Some may function in right between the ears, at least in this case. No. I'm good with a step back season because of this long overdue project, which brought the Cardinals down organizationally. And the only reason why they have been reduced to the level of an also-ran is because the player development system and the way players are prepared has not functioned well, operated well, or been as good as it should be and has been in the past. It's been deteriorating steadily for a long time for lack of attention, a lack of diligence, a lack of initiative. They got to fix this. You know why? Because the best run of baseball the Cardinals ever had came after Bill DeWitt hired Jeff Luhnow. I keep talking about this. I apologize. And he wanted to revive their player development system, the way they procured talent, the way they scouted, drafted, developed, to make sure their players were going to be fully prepared as much as possible within the talent level that they have once they got to the major leagues. And the Cardinals had that pipeline flowing and flowing and flowing. And they had a lot of young players and a lot of support players and starters. They weren't the franchise. You still had Pujols and Molina, and you had Chris Carpenter, and you had Adam Wainwright, you had Rowland and Edmund. You had a lot of players. But the point is, it strengthened your team from top to bottom. And you had a 2011 team. Go back at Baseball Reference and look at that roster, okay? And look at how many drafted and developed Cardinals were on that team. You can call them the sons of Jeff Luhnow because they were all selected. Just about all of them were selected during that time because of the way they improved their process, which they have to do again. It's not about the talent. It's also about the preparation of the talent. And the Cardinals have failed way too many times in that area. All right. I got off track again. My bad. I apologize. So the only way you trade Helsley, I'll speed this up now, is if DeWitt and Mozeliak believe the Cardinals are going to legitimately contend for a playoff spot and in 2025, and they're going to need Helsley to pull that off. Okay, that's the number one reason why you would keep him. Number two reason would be, well, the Cardinals plan to sign Helsley to a huge contract before or when he's eligible for free agency after the 25 season. So you keep him if you say, no, we're going to get aggressive in negotiations with him on a new deal. All right, how many people out there actually believe that? I'm serious. I there's always one or two, even though it's like preposterous, but I'm sure there's some people that'll think that. So let me jump ahead to something here. So do you think that the Cardinals, when they're going through a transition, it might take 1 year. Well, it would take 1 year for sure. 25 might take 2026. So they're going to invest heavily, given their cautious spending, right? And Chaim Bloom's not a big believer in throwing money at relievers. More on that later. you really think the Cardinals, in the situation they're in right now, the phase that they're entering right now, play the kids and all that stuff, fixing the minor leagues, all the money, a lot of money going into that. You think they're going to give 5 years, $102 million to Ryan Helsley? That's what Edwin Diaz got from the Mets. Do you think they're going to give 5 years, $95 million to Helsley? That's what the Astros gave Josh Hader. Do you think that the Cardinals are going to give Helsley 5 years, $86 million? This goes back to after the 2016 season. That's what the Yankees gave Aroldis Chapman. So that goes way back. That $86 million would be a lot higher now. And then the Dodgers, a while back, they gave 5 years, $80 million to Kenley Jansen. But again, that price would be up. Do you think the Cardinals are going to invest that much money on Ryan Helsley, who has a history of injuries and who's volatile in terms of that? He throws 100 miles an hour. And relievers that throw that hard, they break. Not all the time. Not every year, not every other year, but they break. They're volatile. That's the word that everyone uses now, and it's true. You got to go back, for example, after the 2016 Major League season, teams signed Chapman, Jansen, and Mark Melanson to contracts that totaled $228 million. And that was after the 2016 season. This is now after the 2024 season. Why in the world would we think it would make any sense to give Helsley a long-term deal at huge prices? We're talking about Ryan Helsley, who missed 83 games with a forearm strain. He missed 83 days in the 2023 season with a forearm strain. If you go back to the 2019 season, he missed 25 days with a shoulder injury. In 2021, he missed 48 days in season with an elbow injury. Then there was also, it was a non-pitching injury because you remember that game in Pittsburgh late in 2022, the final week, where he, you know, raced off the mound to try to pick up a ball or to snag a ball, whatever. I can see the play. I'm doing a lousy job of describing it. And he broke his finger. And the Cardinals may have like been fooling around with the truth on that one. May not have been broken, but he probably strained a ligament or two in there. That's what I was told. So the finger wasn't good. And Helsley insisted it was good. And the Cardinals wanting to believe that it was good, they were like, oh, no, we have no worries. And that's when Ali Marmol brought him in. Game one of the Philadelphia series in 2022, the Cardinals had a 2-0 lead. Helsley clearly wasn't himself, clearly was bothered by the finger injury, and had a epic collapse, blown save, meltdown. And the series was basically over right after that. The Cardinals never recovered mentally, psychologically, physically. It was over. So Helsley's had a mixed history with the Cardinals. And even in 2019, excuse me, let me go back. Even in 2022, you know, we see him as the super closer now, which he is. And I'm going to talk about how great he's been over the last 3 years overall. But in 2022, you may recall this now that I mention it, you know, he only had 19 saves that season. And that's because Ali Marmol did not use him exclusively in the closer role. Marmol was into this, got three high leverage relievers, mix and match, going to have Hennessy Cabrera, going to have Giovanni Gallegos, and you're going to have Helsley. There is not one of them is going to be the predominant closer in that role. And so Helsley had 19 saves in 2022. And Giovanni Gallegos, who was still effective, he had 14 saves that year. And so the Cardinals won 93 wins, and they had a really good team, but of course went belly up in the first round against the Phillies. So Helsley hasn't always been the exclusive closer. and injuries have sidetracked him from time to time. He is, once again, vulnerable, volatile, whatever V word you want to use, right? But has he been an excellent reliever? Of course he has. Let me read these things to you. Over the past three seasons, second among all major league relievers in wins above replacement, Class A from Cleveland's the only one with more valuable. Third with a 1.83 ERA, Ryan Helsley, among relievers last three seasons. Fourth with a 2.35 fielding independent ERA, or FIP, as we call it. Fifth in win probability added, which to me is a real measure of a reliever's value, especially when we're talking about high leverage stuff. To be fifth in that category is outstanding. And over the past three seasons, he also had the eighth highest strikeout rate among major league relievers, 36.4%. And of course, as we know, this was capped by his 2024 season, just a career year, by his franchise record 49 saves. It's an accomplishment that made him unanimous selection for National League Reliever of the Year. And that award is voted on by great, great, great relievers of the past, and all of them pretty much Hall of Famers. So that was quite the compliment, and he was the obvious selection. So I'm not in any way, I am just pointing out there is some vulnerability there in terms of physical impairments and the prospect of him getting hurt again. He's never had, fortunately, and as La Russa would say, that's how he would knock on wood. He'd knock on his head, self-deprecating humor. Helsley, fortunately, has never had one of these years where he blows out an elbow and he's gone for the year, misses a year in 15 months or whatever, and you know, you don't have him for a long time. But it's always possible for a guy that pitches 100 miles an hour on a regular basis. And this also kind of circles me back to something else. I know some people have said and continue to say, which is fine. Everyone's got an opinion. I try to ponder all of them. It's like, well, they don't have to trade Ryan Helsley this winter. They don't have to, because they can always flip him to a contender at the deadline. And, you know, it's a situation where, you know, there's a lot of teams that are going to need a closer because these guys break down, as you say, and that means that there's going to be a void out there for probably multiple contending teams that are either trying to get to the playoffs or feel that they have a legitimate chance to win a pennant or the World Series. And so they're going to be desperate, and the Cardinals can probably clean up. Some people would say, and I do appreciate the point of view here, that it's a crowded marketplace in the offseason for high leverage relievers, where there's going to be plenty of them available, or at least a good number of them available. But they're all going to wind up somewhere else. And so at the trade deadline in 2025, there may be some teams that did not address this issue during this offseason, this one we're into now. And they are going to be very anxious. Well, we got to go get someone. If we have a chance to, we think we can win the National League pennant, American League pennant. We think we can go all the way, but we got to go get a closer. So the Cardinals might be able to exploit that. I agree with that in theory, right? I do. There's a common sense, logical view of that, except not taking the risk factor into account, which is the whole flip Helsley at the trade deadline thing blows up if he blows up. If he pops an elbow ligament, if his shoulder goes bad, if he has an awful forearm strain, which is often a precursor to serious elbow problems, what if Ryan Helsley, and I hope not, there's, gosh almighty, got so much respect for him, and he's going to be entering free agency after this next season, and I'd hate to see, you know, his potential to cash in a big way. I'd hate to see that wrecked by an injury, but suppose it happens. Suppose he does suffer like a season-ending injury in May or June or even early July. Well, then he has no trade value at the deadline. And again, as recently as 2023, he missed 83 days with a forearm strain. He did return, But if something similar should happen in 2025, where he's going to miss 80 plus days, well, it all depends on the timing of the injury. But that's something that could, in effect, knock him off the trade market, an injury like that, even if it's not career threatening. So the theory makes sense, except the theory blows up if Ryan Helsley suffers a significant substantial injury. One other thing on this, again, so I think the time to move him is now if you're going to do it. I mean, are you really going to let him walk away? I mean, you pitch one more year for a non-contending team, and then you're going to let him walk away. And if you make a qualifying offer, then you would at least get a draft pick for him when he signs somewhere else. The team that signs him, of course, the Cardinals would get a draft pick, so they would get something. But are you really going to let him walk away after the 2025 season and basically get very little in return, the draft pick, and that's it? Really going to do that? You're willing to do that? I don't see where it makes any sense. And I think there'll be good enough offers to where they would find one that they like, especially if Chaim Bloom is doing some evaluations of the players being offered because he's got a good eye for pitching in particular. Speaking of Chaim Bloom, this gets back to, well, should the Cardinals think about signing Helsley to a long-term contract with a lot of money? Because, again, if he stays healthy, he's really valuable. Okay, if he stays healthy, yeah, he's really valuable. But if you look at Chaim Bloom's history with Tampa Bay and with Boston, that's not really his philosophy. And can I give you the classic example of that? In 2019, and he was the senior vice president of baseball operations. He had a lot of say in what they did or didn't do. In 2019, the Tampa Bay Rays had the lowest payroll in the majors at $60 million. They ranked 30th. And in the 40-man payroll, they ranked 28th out of 30. So despite having a $60 million 26-man payroll, least amount in baseball, the Rays won 96 games. And they also won 96 games without having a designated closer. They got 20 saves out of Emilio Pagan, and there were a bunch of other guys that had 8, 7, 2 saves, you know, whatever. That 96-win team got saves from 11 different relievers. And there were other examples of that, too. Now, there have been times in their history with that Tampa Bay Ray way, with Andrew Friedman, with Chaim Bloom, with the guy that's there now, and I'm forgetting his name, who's also very, very good, and the guy that left the front office to become the Miami, Peter Bendix, the Miami Marlins' new president of baseball operations. There have been exceptions to where they have ridden with one closer, like the 2012 Rays. Francisco Rodney had 48 saves. Alex Colom, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, he had 47 saves in 2017. Rafael Soriano, 45 in 2010. Brad Boxberger, 41 in 2016. There have been a couple 30-plus save seasons in there, too, during the Tampa Bay time that Chaim Bloom was there. But they have no problem. None of those guys were making huge money. They have no problem just saying, well, you know, we think we're smart enough to find relievers who can handle the job, even if we go with the committee of them. And they've done really well with that. And the 2019 is the perfect example. And they won, they averaged 93 wins over two seasons without having like this big time, big name closer. And then if you look at Chaim Bloom in Boston, in 2021, they had Matt Barnes with 24 saves, Adam Ottaviano with 11. They had 10 guys save games that year. In 2022, the Boston Red Sox, their saves leader, had 8. Another guy had 4, another guy 6. They had 3 guys with 8. Another with 6, another with 4. They had 9 relievers with saves that year. And so Heim Bloom has never hesitated if he does not have an alternative lined up, where they took a chance on a reliever and turned him into a closer, and he wasn't making big money, and he was able to be an effective closer for a couple years. But he did that. That such a reliever did that without a monster contract, and that's the difference. So the Heim Bloom philosophy, if he has any say, if he has a vote in this matter, I don't think there's a chance the Cardinals are actually going to want to give Ryan Helsley a monster massive contract anyway. But for those who think it's still possible, all you got to do is look at Heim Bloom's history, and it'll tell you loudly, loudly, that's not the philosophy that he comes out of in that Tampa Bay system. That's not the philosophy he had in Boston. And you say what you want about Boston. I'm not going to go into this because there's a few of you that, you know, my goodness, you don't even get credit for his role in Tampa Bay, how great they were with low money. And Boston, with the fact he's working for a cuckoo owner who was pulling the rug out from under him and changing the job responsibilities all the time and ordered him to trade Mookie Betts and did it publicly to destroy the leverage they had to trade Mookie Betts. But somehow, a few of you, my friends, have concluded that that made Heim Bloom an idiot. Okay. He was hired to build the farm system because Boston had a terrible one and their farm system is thriving. Players drafted by Heim Bloom when he was there, right now, the Red Sox have five of the top 25 prospects in the majors, and a bunch of them graduated last year. He did the job he was hired to do by John Henry before he started changing his mind, John Henry, 25,000 times. But again, you have to want to look for the truth to understand it instead of wanting to be popular with all the other naysayers. No, no, I'm going to be negative. He's a failure. Okay. 96 wins with a $60 million payroll that ranked 30th in 2019. Yeah. Guy's a disgrace. He's no idea what he's doing. It's the Tampa Bay system. Well, smart baseball. Anyway, you don't want John Mozeliak handing out a big contract to anybody at this point. You don't want Bill DeWitt to sign off on it. Not that he would, especially after hiring Heim Bloom. And I know Heim Bloom would say, I don't think so. Do you have some antacid? Can I guzzle a bottle of that something, you know, my Lanta or something? That idea of giving Helsley a huge contract. No, I don't think so. So to recap, there's only two reasons that they would keep Ryan Helsley, and neither one of them actually applies to reality. Being a playoff caliber team in 2025 or signing Helsley to a mega deal next season or after the 2025 season. Neither one of those things are true. Get what you can and get a good deal for him, which will help you speed along your transition phase where you're adding more young talent. Makes no sense to keep them. That'll do it. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Tell all your friends, leave some comments, and we'll be back maybe later today. It's a really busy day, but if you're going to see this, anytime you see this, remember I'm part of the KMOX Gas House Gang Roundtable. We do this weekdays, Monday through Friday at noon Central Time, but it's available after the fact by going to KMOX, their site, or just follow their social media accounts and they put the link up. It's all four of us do it on Monday. Today, be Ackerman, Paulie, Wheeler, Miklas, and then the rest of the day, two of us, we take shifts. I'm doing it on Thursday and Friday. So three times a week, you'll see me on there in addition to my videos here. I'm a multimedia man. I'm a content farm, eh? Anyway, I'll shut up now. You all be good. Thanks for watching.